To me, your squad is one of the more interesting teams around the NHL. Was just talking to Jim Boomer Gordon from SiriusXM a couple of moments ago, and we're making the collective point that, you know, at the beginning of the season last year, before everything with COVID went through this team, that was a team that was, you know, when they were clicking, really played well and showed signs of what could be. Injuries, of course, always a factor, and we all know the hardships the Devils went through last season. When you sat down and first took this job, did you have a, this is where we're going to be in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? And if so, where are you in that model?
Great question. And yes, when I was asked to take over the job, I presented my blueprint of what I thought success would look like. And where we're at that time in January of 20, you know, that the rest of that season, and truthfully, this season is what I was calling the learn the win phase, like players learning and understanding what it takes to win hockey games and, you know, be in the fight. Would our inexperience catch up to us at times versus the experience that we played last year, especially last year, in particular, our division? I every night was a war, but call that learn the win phase. Now, you know, we saw the jump in some of our younger players, you know, the Sharon Govich's and Kukin's, and then, you know, what Jack Hughes showed us and where his game is going. I just can't keep selling off all the bets at the trade deadline, right? It's we've got to make a statement. These players have to make a statement with their game and the way they prepare to play meaningful games at the end of this year. But I really thought, you know, right now, like we're in the, if last year was the crawl stage, I think we're in the walk stage right now before we start running. So, you know, part of the mission this year was to go out and support what we have in place with our young players, our young good players with some experience. And we felt we did that without even jeopardizing any of our future. So, We're super excited to get going here. Fan base is excited. I think the way we practiced and how camp's gone. For me, I'm looking for commitment from these players. I want a commitment on playing the right way, coming to the rink every day with a purpose to get better. And that's the maturity that this group needs to walk through. And that's, like I said, we're in that walking stage right now.
You know, I'm curious about Jack Hughes, who is one of the more dynamic players in the entire NHL. The skating is sublime. The playmaking, I mean, he's a really creative guy, as you well know. And the thing about Hughes that you can appreciate more than others, since you deal with him on a day-to-day basis, when Elliot and I spoke to him in Chicago, and I hadn't talked to Hughes going back to when he was playing in the GTHL, we were both blown away at how confident a 20-year-old can be playing in the NHL. Like, it wasn't it's hard to describe. It wasn't an arrogance, but there was like a real confidence mixed in with a curiosity and a playfulness. I really don't know how to describe it properly, Tom. Maybe you can color it in for me. I don't know that I've met a hockey player whose personality is the same as Jack Hughes. Have you ever met anyone like Jack Hughes? And B, what do you see in this player?
Well, I mean, I you're right. I get to see Jack every day, whether it's in practice, you know, see him in the lunchroom, and then watch him play games and the things that he can do. You know, they pull me out of my seat. You know, he really does. His hands, his quickness, his elusiveness, his hockey IQ, you know, the vision, you know, all the things that we all saw he displayed is elite. Now, you know, will the body catch up to the skill? And it's getting there. He's still a young 20-year-old physically. So, and he's improving that. And you can see it in his shot. You see it in his quickness off the mark. Jack is a highly competitive kid. He really is. He's one of the most competitive players I've ever been around post-playing. You know, watching the way he goes about his business in the weight room. And I was real lucky, you know, and post-playing, you know, being in Pittsburgh and watching Sid and Gino and how they worked and how they brought it every day and what they they did and how they led. And I played with some great players as well, Hall of Famers that did the same thing. Jack just has a skill set, really a mindset that he wants to be the best. And he's got those tools. We're excited for him. We know what his capabilities are. We look forward to, surrounding him with players that can complement him as well. And we feel we've got kids coming that will ride shotgun with him at some point. But he's a very, like I said, he's uber competitive. And you can't teach that. And that's that's the one thing I take away from Jack.
And now it's a family affair with the New Jersey Devils and the Hughes family. I'm curious about a couple of things. You, as we all know, drafted Luke, his brother, who's a big defenseman. One, at what point did you and your staff decide there's no way Luke Hughes is getting past us in the draft? And two, were you ever tempted to tell that to Jack?
Well, no for your second part. Because it really came down to the 11th hour with us, because of how deep that draft was, especially where we were picking, we knew we were getting a really, really good player. You look at the mobility, you look at his age, he's the youngest kid in the draft. You looked at, the tests that we put together for all these prospects, the leadership, the competitiveness that jumped off the page to us. And this was all about Luke Hughes. This had nothing to do with Jack Hughes or his family. This was about the New Jersey Devils picking the best player for us. And that's what Luke Hughes was. And there was never a heads up to the family or Jack. He probably wouldn't have reacted the way he did if he had an inkling, right?
No, he told us point blank he had no clue that was all legit.
Yeah, that was sincere, and you saw the excitement he had, and that's what's exciting about what we're building here in New Jersey with those two kids in particular, and other kids are surrounding them, and we've got some good young leaders, Nico Hischier, Ty Smith's he's going to be a hell of a leader as well. So, we're excited here, and Luke, we look forward to that day he becomes a New Jersey Devil, but in the meantime he's on a college team that could challenge a lot of NHL teams or pro teams anyways, or Michigan.
You mentioned Ty Smith a second ago, and he rooms with Jack Hughes. You have a thought on that combination living together?
Yeah, you know what? They're just fun to be around. They really have hit it off. They've really become best buds. And it's fun to watch. It's just the enthusiasm, genuine enthusiasm that they bring to the rink every day it's contagious. You can't help yourself but smile. And I think Lindy Ruff's the perfect coach for these kids. His temperament, his personality, happy-go-lucky, but he's demanding as well. So I mm-hmm. think it's just, with those two in particular, I think they're two peas in a pod, and I think Lindy has a really good grasp on how to coach these kids and how to relate to them as well.
With Tom Fitzgerald, New Jersey Devils general manager, the Mackenzie Blackwood situation, it seems as if the goaltender now is inching more towards getting vaccinated. How would you describe this entire process from your chair, Tom?
I'm not going to lie. It's a bit frustrating. Would I like all my players to be vaccinated at this point? Would I like to be 100%? Yeah, I would. We dodged the bullet the other day with a positive test.
Yep.
And it's just not going to change. It's going to happen again somewhere. We're lucky it was exhibition. So we get on the road, and it puts us in a very vulnerable place, to be quite honest. And Mackenzie knows that, and he doesn't want to be a distraction at all. And what I said on another podcast, he's never said he's not going to get it. It's just when he feels at the right time, and I think that's coming.
I'm curious how do you have a conversation with, because I haven't had one, everyone that I'm, whether it's my family or in close contact with, are all vaccinated. I don't even know how to begin to have a conversation with someone on your team and not just play the you're letting everybody down card. Or is that the card that you have to play in this situation?
No, it's not. I mean, how I handled it was, here's all the information you need to know. You know, I know the PA has got some great people to talk to, as well as really what the shot is, and you know what. If you have any questions, I know they'd be able to answer. But from us, it wasn't. There was no guilt. There was no begging. I just want to lay out all the protocols to him, and to be quite honest, make sure he knows we will be holding his feet to the fire for every single protocol. And then that actually leaked into our training staff and our equipment staff and our strength and conditioning staff, and even our coaching staff. If we can't police him from wearing a mask, and he's done a much, much better job. He's been really diligent with the mask. But prior to that, it was like, I'm going to just start sending people home and suspending people who can't keep him accountable if I'm not around. So that's the card I was playing. You know, and I will say he has respected that. He knows that his choices potentially could hurt others. But he's been much better, and it's good to see. But you know, at the end of the day, I want people to tell me when he got it, not he's going to get it or he's thinking about getting it. Just tell me when he gets it.
See, I would wonder about, you know, going through the schedule and talking about key games in Canada towards the end, and like, listen, we need these games. Like if it comes down to this, like this is, like, I don't know. I always sort of, you know, you always put yourself in other people's positions, and I've thought a lot about this one, and I've said to myself, you know, if I were Tom Fitzgerald, what would I do here? And I'd be tempted to go to the schedule and say, listen, these are crucial games we're going to need down the stretch, and they're being played in Canada, and we need you for these. Like I don't know. It's like that would be the one that's the one sort of thing that jumps out at me, Tom.
Well, I mean, not looking at the end of the season schedule, but I think there's a lot to be said about when we actually go to Canada, and that potentially may be running through his brain of the runway that he's on to get this. And again, I want to speak for him, but you know, when he talks about, you know, the right time, or I think there's a part of the decision making will come to we part of this where our schedule's at, and when we do go to Canada, and that's early December, you know. So there's a little bit of a runway in his brain. That's what I'm taking away from this.
A couple of more things about a couple of your players. I saw that Alexander Holtz was sent down to Utica today. I know that's a tough decision. Dawson Mercer still up with the squad. Where are you at right now with Mercer's development and where he's at with his game? You know, you mentioned a couple of moments ago you were surrounding Hughes with some other players. Where is the GM at on Dawson Mercer, another first-round pick?
I sit there and pinch myself every day. I watch him thinking I didn't know he was this good. I didn't know he was going to be this good and this good this quick. He hasn't taken his foot off the pedal since our rookie term in Buffalo, where he was outstanding. He's acquitted himself quite nicely with our group. Always asking questions. Always has a smile on his face. Always looking to do something different to get better. There are some things in his game that we have to help him with. You know, i.e. faceoffs, but his hockey sense, the skill, his versatility, his vision, his flexibility—the flexibility he gives us to move him up and down the lineup. He's earned this to start here, and he's done a great job. Alexander Holtz also earned the right. He played well. You know, his game continued to get better as with each day. You know, from Buffalo, he was good, but I thought he got better playing with the NHL guys. For us, we don't feel we could give him the quality ice time, you know, first, second power play, regular shift, maybe 4-on-4, the proper minutes that you need to not lose your confidence. And I also, we all know here, the start of the season's a little different than exhibition. You know, the rosters are a little different, and the third pair defense are actually really good and hard to play against. And not that he couldn't do that, but it just, we just wanted him to get down and get going and really keep that competitive fire that he has going and make sure, you know, he's got to get stronger. His conditioning needs to improve, like all young kids, and that's what we can offer him in Utica. I don't think you can ever overcook somebody, but I never want to undercook him by keeping him up here if I can't give him what he properly needs for his full development and what we envision him being. You know, we envision him being that top six right wing scoring winger because he proved it in some of the exhibition games and how well he shoots it. But, you know, let's go down and keep going. Keep the feet moving. Keep your speed. You know, just small little things that he needs to concentrate on and create habits with. We'll be able to do that down in Utica. And, you know, Kevin, that he's a hell of a coach. You know, he's seen it all. And if there's anyone who we know can help, you know, Alex's game, it's going to be Kevin.
Jimmy Vesey, the last that people saw, or most recently, if they saw the Amazon series involving the Toronto Maple Leafs, they saw him involved in a couple of really difficult conversations, one with Sheldon Keefe and another with Kyle Dubas. And for some, that might be shocking, but that's just the nature of the industry, and that's just the honesty that you get when you have a conversation with a coach or a manager. What did Jimmy Vesey do to earn his spot with the New Jersey Devils, to earn a contract?
Well, I think when he did earn it, we liked his game because his game's different than it was when he came out of college or when he was with the Rangers. He knows where he's at in his career, and he knows what he needs to be as a player to continue to play at the National Hockey League level. You know, I had some frank talks with him, you know, transitioning his game, kind of rebooting yourself into something different. Be that penalty killer. Be that guy who blocks shots. Be that guy who gets to the net and uses his big frame. A guy who finishes his checks, holds on the pucks, and then changes and do it again. That should be your identity. And he showed us that he can do that. He's versatile. He can play left wing or right wing. But he's really helped us on the penalty kill during training camp. So, yeah, that's what we were looking for out of him. We weren't looking for anything else. We've got enough skill up front. We've got enough left shot skill guys that can play on our power play. I wanted some bottom type players who are heavy, are willing to play heavy, are willing to take hits. So, you know what? Like now that he's earned this, we'll just again try to continue to keep his feet to the fire with his ice time. And I don't think he'll disappoint. I think he knows where he's at. And like I said, I think he understands what he needs to do to reinvent himself as a hockey player if he wants to continue to play at this level. That's for sure.
A couple things quick, and then we'll let you get on with your day, Tom. I just mentioned that Maple Leafs docuseries with Amazon. If Amazon approached you and said, "We'd like to do one, follow you guys, yourself, Lindy, the team, all of you guys, we'd like to follow you around for an entire season," what would the GM say?
I think it would be great as long as we got to edit it. I think, you know, just seeing really what it's like every day to walk in the coach's shoes or GM shoes and being around our players and, you know, really who we are as people and understand. I think it'd be great. I've done a couple in my past, but I have no promoting our team is that would do it. So I would love to do it.
And finally, PK Subban, in the last year of his contract, has there been or have there been any conversations about extension or anything else like that?
No, not at this point with any of my players that are coming up on their last year of their deals. Just want to keep people focused and concentrating on this season and what training camp was all about, what our goals are, how we're going to play, how we're going to, you know, stick up for each other and stick up for yourself and compete. That's it. I haven't talked to anybody about contracts.
Gotcha. You've been very generous with your time. Tom, thanks so much for joining me today. Much appreciated. Best of luck with the New Jersey Devils this year. It's an exciting team. It's a team that's on the rise, and we wish you all the best.
Awesome. Appreciate it.